This is the Well, Well, Well podcast with Cassandra and Britt, episode number 21, What's Good About Grief? We are not about to tell you that grief feels good, because it is awful. It hurts so bad. But why is it necessary? Let's discuss. Well, 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 welcome to the podcast. We can't think of anything better than conversations with your friends about all the wellness.
Let's discuss what the gurus are saying and weave the good stuff into our lives.
We aren't experts, but we are your friends, and we are here with you.
We are so glad you joined us. Let's hook up on Instagram at the Well, Well, Well podcast for a little bit more well, well, wellness.
Hi, Britt.
Hi.
Look at us zooming like champs.
Good to see your face.
I know. Yeah. Yours too.
We are doing an early morning Zoom call, trying to get a podcast recorded before the kids are up and in our hair.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. Let's talk about our bevvies, Britt.
Yes. Okay. So you guys know there's a couple beverages that I like from Unicity that you just pour the little packet and do the little frother to stir it up.
There's more than one. I just knew about the matcha.
Yeah, I love the matcha, but there's this other one. It's called Unimate. And the one I'm drinking today is their Unimate Fuel. And it has yerba mate that you've heard of on the market.
Yes.
Has some of that in it. And it also has a bunch of stuff for energy and focus. And I love it so much. They have a salted caramel flavor that's new that tastes really good hot. So that's been my morning beverage lately.
Salted caramel is my favorite. Salted caramel anything. I am just here with my perk. And I've been adding, like I said on our Instagram page, I've been adding a bit of the mud water too, because I like having those adaptogens in there too.
Ooh, that's a really good one. Yeah, I added a scoop of collagen peptides to mine this morning too, just to round it out a little, you know?
Just to try to freshen up that face a little bit.
Doing anything I can, you know?
We need all the help we can get.
We've all been left. Well, I mean, I know some people are really good about getting up and getting their makeup on no matter what. I have not been doing that. I keep telling myself I'm just letting my skin breathe.
But that's right.
It also means you're looking your skin in the eye. That's for darn sure.
Yeah. It means you're taking a real critical glance at what your skin needs.
Yes.
Okay, Britt, let's get started.
Yes. Okay. So today we want to talk about grief and pain. We know it sounds so fun, right?
Don't turn it off.
Well, it's not fun, but neither is life sometimes. You know, I mean, we all have to deal with grief and pain. So we have to figure out how to navigate the not so fun stuff. Grief and pain are an inescapable part of life. And pain comes into each of our lives for a variety of reasons. But loss is kind of a big one. There's a lot of different ways we could say loss, not just losing people, loss of jobs, loss of relationships, loss of religion, loss of hope, loss, you know, the list could go on. So loss in general. While each situation will be different, and there will definitely be many lessons unique and specific to the individual, we have found that so far in our lives, the hardest things that we have been through have seemed to bring about connection, if we allow for that.
Yeah. And sometimes we're experiencing a personal loss, and sometimes we are empathetically supporting someone else who's going through something. Most recently, we have been supporting our dear friend Ashley, and we would encourage you to go onto Instagram and follow along with her story. She is Little Miss Mama, and she is an amazing writer and is really taking everybody through this journey that she's going through on her Instagram page. So go over there and check it out. Her 2-year-old daughter, Stevie, was recently diagnosed on Easter Sunday with an inoperable pediatric brain cancer called DIPG. And this pain is real and it is heavy and it has consumed our every waking moment since her diagnosis. So we've been on both sides of this type of grief. We've been the ones experiencing a very personal pain and the ones supporting a loved one and feeling it with them. And for sure, once you've lost someone really close to you, you have an opinion about the good and the bad things that people say to you, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So this is super personal though, and it varies between different circumstances, but we found this list and we basically nodded our heads at every word that we read on this list. Yes. About things to say and things to not say to people going through loss, grief, and pain. And obviously there are exceptions, but we found it helpful to have some guidance when emotions are running so high. We really appreciated the guidance. So we thought we'd share it with you because that's what we do.
Yes. But before we do, I think it's really important that we just say that reaching out to somebody doing and saying something, showing up for the person who's going through the pain is always better than not showing up because you don't know what to do or you don't know what to say or you think you're going to say something wrong. Like you definitely just show up, you know? And I will also say that when you're the receiver of the comments and the efforts of others, I think it's really important to just remember that even though sometimes people say things that you didn't want to hear and that you didn't like, to just try to remind yourself that people really mean well and that anything that they say is usually just something that they think that they would want to hear. Or maybe it's even just something that they think you're supposed to say to make people feel better. And I think that's kind of one of the main things to remember as we go through this list is that you are not responsible for making anyone feel better. They probably don't want to feel better in the thick of their grief. So it's okay if you don't have something to say that like heals the pain.
100%. There is nothing that we could say right now that's going to take away Ashley and Ben and their family's pain, but we definitely can show up and be in the thick of it with them.
Right.
So there's a really good quote that goes right along with what you're saying, Britt, and it says, "No one can talk pain away. Grief drains most words of their power anyway." And that is from the book, A Letter to a Grieving Heart by Billy Sprague. With all of this said, let's get to our list. The best things to say to someone in grief. 1, I'm so sorry for your loss. 2, I wish I had the right words. Just know I care. 3, I don't know how you feel, but I am here to help in any way I can. 4, you and your loved one will be in my thoughts and prayers. 5, my favorite memory of your loved one is, I love that one.
I love that one too.
6, I am always just a phone call away. 7, give a hug instead of saying something. 8, we all need help at times like this. I am here for you. 9, I am usually up early or late if you need anything. And 10, saying nothing, just be with the person.
Yeah, such a good list because that quote that you said is so true. Pain and grief kind of drain the meaning from the words anyway. The words you say aren't going to change the situation. So kind of like that list, it's just really just showing up for the person. I love the memory one. 5 is maybe my favorite. That one meant a lot to me, you know,
when
you do that. So I think that's a good one. And in contrast to the list of the good things to say to someone in grief, there's also a list that they gave on some of the worst things that you can say.
Can you tell us how we can make people feel more crappy? Give us that list.
Right. This is the list you don't want to use. So even though a lot of the things on this list sound really nice or well-intended, it rarely feels good to hear these things. I think we just have to remember to let the person in pain be the one to say them if and when they're ready. And it might be wise to refrain from offering any of these words. And I know I have been guilty of it. So this was good for me to hear some of these too.
No, I have stuck every one of these feet in my mouth before. All right, let's just say that.
Let's put it that way. Yes, totally. So, okay, 1, at least she lived a long time. Many people die young. 2, he is in a better place. 3, she brought this on herself. 4, there is a reason for everything. 5, aren't you over him yet? He has been dead for a while now. 6.
Okay, I maybe haven't said that last one.
No. No, You never know. Some people might have. Let's see. Number six. You can have another child still. Number seven. She was such a good person. God wanted her to be with him. Number eight. I know how you feel. Number nine. She did what she came here to do, and it was her time to go. Number 10. Be strong.
Britt, I'm literally like crawling. My skin is crawling right now. I want to dive into a hole. I'm physically uncomfortable listening to this list.
I know. And the thing is, I really do think every single one of those is well-intended. And some of them might even have truth to them, right? Like we might even in our core beliefs believe a lot of those things are true. But the point is that these things just aren't really helpful to hear. And that's kind of why I was saying, like, let the person going through the pain and the grief be the one to offer these things. And then you guys can talk about it. But you shouldn't be the one to put that out there. Like you shouldn't be the one to say it first.
Right, right. Let them lead you down that.
Right.
So the first thing we want to do when somebody is in grief, pain, loss, is we want to reach out and like either that's a conversation, a phone call, a text, a comment, we send them a card, we bring flowers, balloons, whatever it is. Our human instinct is to reach out. And that's a beautiful thing. When my sister was diagnosed with breast cancer back in August of 2019, a friend brought me this book and it's called Help Me Live by Mary Hope. And in this book, she talks about why we don't know what to say to people going through tragedy. And it's really an interesting book. I have really loved reading it. One part she says is sometimes we feel like we need to blurt something out, or we feel compelled to say something or to not act. And the reason she gives for why we do that is because we cannot stay in our own fear. So we want to blurt out something like, I know how you feel, when we don't, because we are full of fear and sadness and it's uncomfortable for us to sit in that.
We're saying what we need to hear. It isn't necessarily what they need to hear. We're saying what we need to hear.
Right. So we want to jump the fear ship. We want to jump right off of that ship. And that's usually why we end up saying the wrong things, is because we are uncomfortable with the feelings of fear that we are having.
Right.
So, and Britt and I preach about this often. And so you know what we're going to say. We're going to say, feel your feelings. We're going to say, sit in that grief and the tragedy and the sorrow and the fear. And that is the way to get through it. As a matter of fact, last night I was at the grocery store, and it's a weird time to be at the grocery store right now. And I was so overcome with sadness about the state of our world and everything going on with our Stevie girl that I texted my husband and I told him I was so sad. Like, it was one of those things where I wanted to ditch all my groceries and just go out to the car. But we all know how hard it is to grocery shop right now. It's not the fun thing that it used to be, right? It's like this whole process, which I'm super grateful for, that we're learning a new healthy process. But I was sad and I wanted to leave. And he just texted me back and he's like, listen, I'm going to take the kids to my mom's. We're working on a Mother's Day thing for you. Go home and just relax. And it was the perfect thing. It was exactly what I needed, because I went home, I climbed in my bed, I grabbed my box of hot tamales, and I sat in my sadness. And I cried. I wrote some things out. I did some thought download. I did a little bit of journaling, and then I recovered. But sitting through that fear and uncertainty is the really difficult part, especially when you don't know when it's going to hit.
You kind of have to force yourself to do it. You kind of have to be like, no, 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 because your brain will be like, escape, escape, abort, like, do this, do that, you know? And you kind of want to take action to like get yourself out of it. And, you know, sometimes distracting the brain is necessary because we do have to go on. But if you are able to take a moment for yourself like that, you really do get a good example of how processing an emotion can feel and how it can pass. And we're not saying it's gone forever and you're never going to be sad about this again, but we're just saying that wave of emotion that came, you experienced it and you let it subside.
Right. I tried, other than the hot tamales, I really tried to not buffer from it.
Right.
I tried to sit in it. And I was having all these thoughts come up, like guilt for laying in my bed at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, some of those things, or not like being up cleaning the house or doing a million things that I could do with an empty house, which I haven't had for, you know, none of us have had for months.
Yeah.
So I had to kind of work through some of those feelings too.
Right.
And in the end, after I forced myself to do it, I felt the emotions all the way through my body from the top of my head down to my toes. And it was amazing what I could do afterwards.
Right.
So the next thing that we want to talk about kind of feels like it goes hand in hand with pain and grief is the loneliness. Yeah. It's very common while going through something painful to feel lonely. David Kessler said, your loss is always the hardest loss. Mm. And if you don't know who David Kessler is, he is a grief specialist. So he understands grief and has written some fantastic books on it, as well as added the sixth step of grief moving forward.
Oh, which is pretty cool. And you know, something else I think is really interesting to note about him is he was a researcher and a specialist on grief before he lost his son. And so it's like he understands it on an intellectual level. And then he also has experienced it in its depths personally. And so to hear him, someone who lost a son tragically, say that whoever you are out there, your loss is always the hardest loss. It's just very validating, you know? And absolutely. I love that he said that. It also makes it very personal and, like you're saying, kind of lonely.
Yeah, you do feel isolated in your grief because yours is the hardest. But the truth is that you're never truly alone in your pain because you have Christ who suffered for all of us individually, and he knows each of our specific pains. He is in that grief with us, but still there can be an earthly lonely feeling.
Right.
And sometimes clinging to the people who are closest to knowing how we feel is helpful. Both of us leaned on our siblings during our grief.
Yes. Oh, for sure. After my dad passed away, I feel like my siblings were such a huge form of comfort for me. I'm sure yours were too when your brother passed away.
Yes, I agree. My siblings and I really leaned on each other during the loss of our brother, as well as my parents. And we were all like circumstantially in the same situation.
Right.
We had lost a brother. However, we each had a very individual and unique experience with our grief and loss. My experience of losing an older brother, he was 4 years older than me, is very different than my older brother, who's 10 years older than me and was, you know, the big brother figure. I was the little sister figure.
Right.
So we were bonded and we leaned on each other through the grief because we were grieving the same person. We were sad for a lot of the same reasons. We had a lot of the same memories. We were heartbroken for our parents, like all of those. However, I had different individual experiences with my brother than everybody else. So each of us was experiencing it differently, however united under the circumstance.
Yep. I can 100% relate. Same thing for my situation.
So Jodie Moore recently said in her episode about mourning that each of us has within us the capacity to get through these challenging times if we choose to move through them. She said, each of us individually is the best source of the answers and the way through our pain. The way through it lives within each of us.
Right. Wow. It's interesting to hear her say that, because there are times where you want to say that this person or that person doesn't have the capacity, like they can't handle this. But the truth is, of course, individually we do. And we are the only person who can really choose to go on, you know, nobody can do that for us. So of course, like love and support and therapy, all of that goes a really long way. But it's a one-man job to process your pain, to feel it all the way through and not numb out, to choose healing and to accept the invitation to evolve and rise up. It's not something that anybody can make you do. You have to figure out how to go within yourself and tap into your capacity, because we were built for this. Even though we don't want to be, it's a part of the human experience, and we were built for this.
Right. And the books and the therapy and everything, those are all tools to help strengthen us go through it.
Right.
So we're not, obviously, you know us, we are big self-help advocates. So we're not discounting that. We're saying you can read all the books and you can do therapy and everything, but it's your work to apply those tools that you're learning.
Right. In a sense, that can feel pretty lonely because it's a one-man job. But of course, there's the support.
Right. So even though there's all this deep digging that we have to do on our own, there is so much that we can do for each other.
Yes. Which reminds me of the episode on Unlocking Us that we both just recently listened to.
Yes. The one with David Kessler. Go listen, Brené. Jeez.
Yes. The Amazing one we referenced before.
Yeah.
Yes, that's the one. Okay, so they gave this metaphor on that episode, and we literally just can't get over it. Everyone needs to hear this metaphor. So I'm going to paraphrase it. You should just go listen to him say it, because he's going to say it better than I am. But just in case you don't listen, you need to hear this story. So a man or a woman enters this room, and there are long tables with people sitting at them, and the people are gaunt and starving, and there's food on the table. And each person has a spoon, but the spoon has a very long handle. So the people are unable to feed themselves, and it's devastating and it's hopeless. And then in another room, there are people who are fed and calm, and there's food on the table in this room too, and the same long spoons. But in this room, the people are feeding each other.
Oh, gosh, it makes my eyes water. It's so good. So the question is, how do we feed one another? We came up with some ideas, and we have noticed that nobody wants pity. They want compassion, right?
Right.
So how do we show compassion? Pema Chodron put it this way. She said, compassion is not a relationship between the healer and the wounded. It's a relationship between equals. It becomes real when we recognize our true humanity. So first I would say is to get your body super aligned with love and compassion before you start any helping practice. It can be easy to let your ego slip in there or to want to be the shoulder to cry on. Some people can kind of wear it like a badge of honor.
This idea of helping each other, they can kind of wear that as a badge of honor. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. But if your shoulder that you're offering is not aligned with love and humility and compassion, then I would say the first thing to do is just check your alignment. Check the alignment that you are offering and make sure that you're aligned with compassion and love. So here are some actual like practical ways you can help. So actually bring food in for the family. Listen to their specifications. We all have different dietary needs. So listen to those specifications and bring in healthy options as well. I received some really good advice from a friend of mine who experienced loss of a child. And he said to me, one of the best things that somebody brought us was just a basket of fresh fruit that we could grab and eat at any time. He said, because I realized I wasn't nourishing my body. My wife and I weren't actually eating. And then if we were, it was just like a bag of chips or whatever was hanging out. And so he said, it was so nice to not have to do that thought work of how can I prepare something healthy? There was just a basket of fresh veggies and fruit that they could grab at any moment.
Yeah, that's so good.
Help with laundry, house cleaning, grocery shopping, or entertaining their other children. Take time to listen to them. Hold space for their sadness and don't try to fix it.
So good. Okay, a couple other things. Help navigate communications for them. Most people are thankful for all of the outreach that they're getting during their grieving, but it's kind of overwhelming to adequately respond, you know, and you want to be gracious for all the people who are reaching out, but it can be overwhelming. So maybe you can help with this. Maybe you can help navigate doctor appointments or go with them to doctor appointments or vet therapists for them. The main thing is, when going back to the analogy that David Kessler gave us, is if you're going to feed your friend, if we're going to say it that way, if you're going to help feed someone during their time when they can't feed themselves, you got to do it without expecting any specific response or requiring that there's a certain response that you need to have attached to it. Like, you need them to be grateful or you need them to receive it in a certain way. Kind of goes back to what you were saying, Cassandra, about becoming aligned before you do it. You go into it doing it because that's who you want to be, not because you expect a certain response.
Right. It's even as simple as like you texting them and saying, I don't expect a text back from you. And really believe that in yourself. You are okay if they don't get back to you. This isn't about you. Giving them an opportunity to be alone by helping with their typical duties, I think, is huge.
Absolutely.
Right? Then that gives them the space to be with their family or to just lay in their bed with hot tamales.
Right.
So help them out financially if you can. It isn't always about covering medical costs, but having some extra money does bring some comfort. I love the advice to not give money if you have strong opinions about how it should be spent.
Right.
Understand that sometimes giving money is something you can do to help. And it's not your responsibility to place judgment on how they spend it.
Right.
And obviously, you can cry with them and hug them.
Oh, yes. I mean, these are all ideas that we think are really good ones, but of course, there are many, many more.
We want to feel pain side by side, mourning with those who mourn, and comforting those that stand in need of comfort. Our job is not to fix or solve for their pain. We just validate and join them.
Yes. So I have this book that was given to me after my dad passed away called Letter to a Grieving Heart. We gave one quote from it before. And in that book, another quote of his was, "My friend walked right into the agony with me." That's what friends do.
Yes.
Even though none of us want grief in our life, the truth is that grief is a sign of love. We wouldn't have the grief if we didn't have the love. So we must go through the grief. It's the way. It's the salve that helps us to heal. And it should be acknowledged and not avoided.
Yeah, we're not saying it feels like salve when you're going through it. Hell
right.
No. It feels like burning hot coals in the pit of your stomach.
Right.
It feels like being hollow inside. It feels like spacing out. It feels like all sorts of different things. And it can cause feelings of hopelessness, anger, disinterest, and physical and emotional pain. It is difficult for us because we can usually see the why in our lives and we can solve the problem. And it's hard to cope with feelings of grief. Some things can't be fixed. They can only be carried.
Yeah. Man, it's tricky because the idea that the grief is the salve that heals the wound, it's kind of a tough pill to swallow because you just want to escape the grief, but you need it, you know? I mean, if we actually feel the pain and go through the grief, what we have found is that eventually over time, it morphs kind of into like a reverenced sorrow. The rough edges smooth. It comes in waves. I mean, I'm not saying it's always smooth. Sometimes it's really sharp again. But overall, there's kind of a reverence that wasn't there before. And this makes it a little easier for us to settle into the connections that are available to us. And they're available to us because of this shared human experience.
Yes, the shared pain. This brings us to the concept of connection and how it plays a huge role in grief. We might feel a spark of hope through our connection to God, to our true selves, to our family, our friends, and our community. also a connection to our loved one who we have lost. It's always hard when you hear people say that they are grateful for their trials. Hate that.
Yeah.
Especially when you're talking about a trial that includes losing someone you love.
Yeah. I mean, because the truth is that, of course, you'd do anything to have the person back, and you aren't grateful that they passed away.
No. Right. But what resonates for us when the thought of gratitude is invited into the grief conversation is gratitude for the connection you have with the person in general.
Right.
Not gratitude for the trial and the pain. It's gratitude for the connection.
Right. I remember feeling overwhelmed with gratitude that I got to have my dad in my life as my dad. I was so thankful for all the things that he had taught me and for all the ways that he had influenced and blessed my life. The gratitude isn't really for the loss, it's for the love.
Oh, Britt, I love that. Because it feels so good to love someone so much and feel such a deep connection with them. The pain is attached to the love in the sense that we couldn't feel that depth of pain and grief if it weren't for that depth of love.
Right.
The only thing worse than the grief would be to not have known or loved the person in the first place. And it's interesting because Britt and I have talked a little bit about this. My brother died of a drug overdose to heroin, and it's definitely received differently when you tell people that that's the way that he died, because there are so many assumptions around it that, well, he was a druggie, you know, he kind of had it coming, or yeah, like, why didn't he work the 12 steps better? What, there's lots and lots of judgment that comes with it. And people would say things like, well, he's in a better place type stuff.
Yeah. Or he's he doesn't have his addictions anymore. He's free from that now, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. That kind of stuff. But I wouldn't take away my life with my brother and his addictions and all of his stuff for anything. So, because that depth of love is what this life is about. And on the flip side, you get the grief that goes with it. Ugh.
Yes, I mean, 100%. The depth of connection that you form with yourself and with God because of the loneliness or grief, and with the person who you lost because of the loneliness and the grief, I mean, it's really something that can enrich your life forever.
If we can stay in love and acceptance, if we can seek light, be gentle with ourselves, which is pretty hard, watch for God's hand, serve others, look for symbols, and allow the connections to evolve, we will keep going in the best way that we can.
Guys, thanks so much for coming along with us in this heavy topic, because it's a real part of life. We don't really like talking about it, but we probably need to do it more because it's real.
As a culture, we don't know how to talk about it. So these are important topics to discuss.
Absolutely.
So we love you, and we hope you are taking care of yourselves through this intense time of life. Love your people and be well.
Be well. Okay, guys. So after that heavy topic, should we talk about something a little more light?
Maybe. Yeah, can we lighten things up, please?
Hit you with some of our favorite things that we've been loving lately, our well-looky-heres.
Well-looky-here.
What do you have for us today, Ange?
Okay, so I had to see if I've already talked about this person because I'm obsessed with her. There is an illustrator I found her on Instagram, and her Instagram handle is The Color of Amber, and her name's Amber. And she does some really, really beautiful spiritual illustrations that you can purchase through her website. She does a series about Heavenly Mother that I think is beautiful. They are all really relatable to what the world is going through right now. So you have to check out The Color of Amber. We repost a lot of her stuff in our stories on Instagram. If you go to our Instagram, we're always reposting and chatting about her. So The Color of Amber.
Oh, so good. Yes. Okay. So mine is We've also talked about her before, I think just on Instagram, though. I don't know that we've talked about her here before. Jenna Rammel, who has an Instagram handle, Jenna's Kitchen. She is an oily girl, and she created this face serum. It's a skin serum kind of for your like face and your neck, that whole area. And it's called Skin Bae, like B-A-E. And I have seen it for quite a while, and I have a lot of essential oils myself. So I've kind of just like made my own concoctions and tried to just use that and think that it's probably as good. And then I finally just caved and decided that that was one of my Mother's Day gifts, was that I wanted to try this skin oil. And you guys, oh my gosh, it's so good. I'm really like incredibly impressed with it. So I highly recommend it. It has frankincense oil and rosehip oil and a lot of other just really potent, wonderful essential oils. So it would definitely make our clean beauty list. And it's tried and true, guys. It's real good.
And right now during this quarantine, I'm just loving face oils, just having that on during the day, you know, because we're detoxing, right?
We're detoxing. We're just taking a little breather from all of the pore clogging we've been doing for many years.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to say real quick to Britt, we did a lot of quoting and a lot of referencing today. So make sure that you check out our show notes, and we are going to have all of our sources in our show notes so that you can check out what all these brilliant people are saying.
Absolutely. And of course, if you don't follow us on Instagram, go check us out there. There are some quotes that we didn't end up having make our episode today that are really good too, and we'll be sharing them there. So come on over and join us. Be well, guys.
Be well. Hey, Boo, can you leave us a review? It would be so nice of you. It helps us reach people who would enjoy it too.
Thank you.